Blog Talk Radio.
Take alone, and a point that we have
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender radio show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do take a close look at one of the appearances that she has made sometime, somewhere in the last 2,000 years. And the number on record is well over 2,500, closing in on 3,000 that are documented. So I think that it's obvious that she definitely has been very busy in 2,000 years. And so we like to investigate these claims, figure out what's been going on, review the information, and learn from it, because these appearances are very similar and very closely tied to each other. This would not happen if it were a bunch of wild stories, fantasies, legendary, you know, things that are going on. But it's not. It's clearly, you know, a series of visits that are described in almost exactly the same words down to the tiniest of details, and that creates a reality. You wouldn't get that with fantasy or delusion or hallucination. And the other point is that these people aren't looking for this to happen. Many people are minding their own business, not even believing that such things could happen, and yet they find themselves next in a very supernatural series of visits. And it's life-changing for all those people involved, and even for the people just observing, it becomes life-changing. So it's a very important event, which is very little known in our world, that these things go on. Oh, for people who do know that it goes on, millions of people visit the shrines and the sites, but out of the billions of people in the world, it's a small number still. So our goal is to bring this good information to you, the best researched information, the best stories, the best documentation, and to learn what we can from it. I can tell you now that the message is clear. Heaven knows every little thing that goes on and is very tuned into the present, and that Mary often gives us warnings, predictions, and messages about our lives and what we can do to make them better. Bottom line, get back to church, back to Mass, back to confession, back to the sacraments. Not doing so, you run a big risk of going the wrong path in your spiritual life. So this is why we take it very seriously, very important, and we hope you learn something from it. And before we get back into part two, of Lipa, Philippines, we will visit with our panel of guests, which always is present. First of all, my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley, kicking around there in Kansas City area. How are you?
Yep. Hey, John. Man, I tell you, this is so good. You know, the opening song is called Grave Robber. It's from one of my favorite bands called Petra. And what it reminds me is that Our Lady is preparing for the coming of the seventh age. Right now we are in the sixth age of man. And the Lord said, he promised that basically he sent the church to go to all the nations to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them everything that he commanded them, and that he would be with us always, even until the coming of the next age, the seventh age, the end of this age. And Our Lady is preparing us as if, like John the Baptist was preparing for the way of the Lord when at the time of Jesus's public ministry. And so Jesus is the grave robber, and that will happen one day. No one knows the hour, but it is going to come. And it's so exciting. And when my last unit in the Army, where I was at Fort Hood, Texas. That was the our platoon motto was grave robber. So when we were in the Middle East, for example, every soldier we were able to save, that was a grave robber. We were able to save that soldier for that family that had been keeping the fires burning for that soldier, and for us to be able to save as many people as we did. That's just an amazing thing. So that song meant a lot to me even long before I was with that platoon. But what we were able to do and what we're about to do, and what Our Lady, think about Our Lady, all these appearances that she's going to, John, just like what you were just saying. She's out there as like modern day John the Baptist, preparing us for that day. And yes. I think we are wise if we listen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got Judy Alciator from the great state of Texas. How you doing there, Judy?
Well, I'm like one of the seven dwarves right now, a little bit sneezy.
thank goodness you're not grumpy.
Well, not right now, anyway. maybe sometimes a little bit dopey, but I'm here.
That's funny. And we got Michael from New Jersey. Hi there, Michael.
How are you doing?
Mike.
Hey, Judy. One thing you're not sleepy.
Not at the moment.
I just about got all seven of them covered.
Wow.
Where's John the Virginian tonight?
I'm not sure. He's pretty tired. He's been working on a project, and so I don't know.
By the way, John.
Well, my friend Kathy said she's listening to the show, but I don't know if she's going to call in.
I don't see her.
Oh, Kathy, if you hear this, please call in.
I got some
information on that story you were telling us about.
Oh, okay. You do?
I got a little bit of information. There's not too much.
What story is that?
It's about 40 miles away from me.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll come back to that.
It sounds like something to do in Hoboken.
Yeah. Judy, you got three poems, you said. Let's go ahead and take the first two, and then we'll close out the show with the third one.
Okay. Let me put my eyes on. Okay. This one is from June of 2018, and there's a little something I added to it. It says, I wrote right before waking up that morning, I saw the words, she was. There were other words I could not read, but I awoke with the sure knowledge that the Lord was about to send me a poem. Well, this is that poem, and it was written in just a few minutes. And I entitled it, She Was. She was born to be noble, to be pure in her heart. She was born ever virgin from the start. She was born to be woman, to rejoice and to sing. She was born to be mother to the Lord, King of Kings. She was born to face sorrow, to hold Jesus, the slain. She would see him, the crucified, in her heart filled with pain. She was born to be honored, to pray and intercede. She was born without tainting, for all sinners bowed in need. Now she lives on in paradise, heaven's mother, heaven's queen. Never before nor since has her like ever been seen. She is Mary, ever virgin, who brings love with each new morn. Oh, rejoice, all you peoples, for she was for us all sinless born.
Wow. Very nice.
Now, this next one, I prayed my rosary early this morning, and as soon as I was finished praying my rosary, the Lord gave me these words, and I added, what insights, what knowledge does God impart to you when you pray your rosary? Lord, grant me wisdom. Lord, grant me strength. Lord, help me through this life, whatever be its length. Lord, teach me mercy, that mercy I may show. Lord, grant me knowledge, so my path I will know. Lord, walk beside me, so I am never alone. Lord, help me find you. Help me reach your heavenly throne. Lord, fill me with caring, that caring I may be. Lord, hold me close. Help me live my life in thee. I thank thee, O my Father. I thank your precious Son. I thank the Holy Spirit, the sacred three in one.
Nice, nice, nice. Beautiful stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with Judy's poems, she receives these within minutes, whether she wants them or not. She could be in the middle of taking a shower or driving a car or even sound asleep, and all of a sudden, here it comes, and she grabs something to write it down as fast as she can, and doesn't work it over or change anything. Isn't that right, Judy?
That's about the size of it, yeah. Everything in God's own time, not just the words that he gives me, but everything in his own time.
John,
and,
we do have Kathy that just popped on, so I thought I'd let her know.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, I'm here. I've been mowing grass, and I'm covered in grass and dust and got it up my nose and down my throat, but I made it.
Okay.
Wow, that was graphic. Beautiful. Thanks for being here. So, anyway, we started last week with Lipa, Philippines, way down in the South Pacific. And Philippines is very common for having a number of different apparition events that are very Catholic there. And Mary has made several appearances. We won't recap all of last week. There's no way. But the visionary was Teresita, and that's her name, Castilla. And she had quite an interesting beginning to her story as she joined the convent. Satan was there stomping around and trying to scare her and threatening her. And Mary showed up and said, that's not going to happen anymore. And basically shooed the devil away like a stray dog, just like, get out of here, you know. And he never came back. So Mary's been in charge ever since. And it led young Teresita to basically say, wow, is this what convent life is going to be like? Which I always thought was a great line. Because it's so believable after you go through supernatural stuff like that, you would wonder, what have I gotten into here? But anyway, so she started having many appearances from Blessed Mary. And it leads us up, it began in 1948, and we're now up to November 12th, 1948. And Mary gives Teresita this message. She says, quote, people do not believe my words. Pray for priests. What I ask here is exactly what I asked for at Fatima. Pray, pray, pray. The people do not heed my words. There will be persecutions, unrest, and bloodshed in your country. The enemy of the church will try to destroy the faith which Jesus established and died for. Be not afraid, for the love of my Son will soften the hardness of hearts, and my motherly love will be their strength to curse the enemies of God, unquote. And Saint Therese of Lisieux accompanied Our Lady during some of these apparitions. It's important to realize that Saint Therese had been known for saying, quote, "From the heavens I will let fall a shower of roses," unquote. And Teresita had also seen Saint Cecilia on one occasion. Teresita was too ill to attend Mass, so an angel brought her communion, placing a host on her tongue. And we talked a little bit about this last week, that angels will do that, but they're not consecrating the host. They're borrowing it from a nearby parish church where it's already consecrated. And Mary confirmed that later on in another apparition when asked that, at Garibaldi, when Mary said that St. Michael was going to give Conchita a host and it would appear on her tongue in front of everybody out of thin air, which it did, and it got filmed doing so, which is the miracle of Garibaldi. But Mary explained when asked that, no, angels cannot consecrate. The priests are the only ones who can, and that the angel just borrows from a nearby church consecrated host. So here again we have that happening down in the Philippines. Any comments on that? I just wondered if anyone had any thoughts on that particular aspect.
Just looking at Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 17, it's very interesting. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as men who will have to give account. Let them do this joyfully and not sadly, for that would be of no advantage to you. And then this is what we think it was St. Paul. I'm not sure who the actual author is of Hebrews, but they think it was St. Paul. Well, but the author here in verse 18 says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. If it's St. Paul, you know, he had been delayed, been in prison, you know, but in his travels. So then he goes on saying, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, referring to the Mass there, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I thought it was interesting that Our Lady is just asking us to pray for them. Pray for our religious, our clergy. They are under attack.
Yes.
So.
And she's asked for quite some time. She knew what was coming and she knew what was going to happen. You know, she's been predicting that for, 100 years. Of course, heaven knows. Heaven knows what kinds of things we're going to face. It's just,
well, that's,
of course, you
that's
know, when you're up there with God, of course you're going to know all the best information.
That's what Michael, because someone who was listening, or, you know, that's what Michael was referring to, because I was talking to Michael before game time tonight, showtime, about what was going on in New Jersey. I just was received a petition to sign, and I signed it in reference to some, I guess it was a church, a Catholic church apparently, in New Jersey that was having a mass for gay pride or some kind of thing. And it's just unbelievable what's going on in some of these parishes. You know, like, are they even Catholic? I mean, what's going on here? And I think that's what Our Lady's concerned about, and that's what a lot of these messages center about, warnings. And we need to pray. We need to pray hard.
Well, the devil knows that he's in trouble, and so he's making a lot of last-ditch efforts to corrupt priests and many churches trying to work his way. So I'm not surprised at all. I mean, it's, of course, surprising these things happen, but not when you consider how desperate the devil is to try to make a last-ditch effort to mess things up for everyone. And he's done a pretty good job of it. But we have to have faith of who the winner will be, and that we must be strong and we must be resolute to stick to our values while all this chaos goes on around us, which luckily it's not in most churches, but every now and then we'll hear about the exception that the devil has succeeded in doing something totally out of line and totally not typical of any true Catholic church.
Yeah, I would have to say that this Catholic priest there in this town, which Mike knows, he was just sharing it, but I bet you that priest would not be a Marian priest. I would doubt that very seriously.
Yeah, I would too. Mm. All right.
They're calling this mass a delight mass.
A what?
Is it what?
They're calling it a delight mass.
Delight?
Delight, D-E-L-I-G-H-T.
Huh, wow. Well,
this is the fourth
might as well
year
call
they've
something.
Done it.
Shoot. Well, you can't change the rules of God, sorry. It's just like, I don't care what they call it. It's just you can't change what is set in stone, literally. So, anyway.
May I say something?
Sure, Judy.
The people that are doing things like this, they are like Satan in this one main way. They do not fear God. They do not fear the flames of hell. They do not fear consequences to their actions. They are like, I don't know the word, reprobates? Spoiled children.
That's it.
Whose parents allow them to get away with all kinds of stuff. The kids never face any consequences, and we know that there are families like that. The kids can get away with anything. And
yeah.
Because the parents, you know, just don't want to be bothered being parents. They don't want to discipline, or they don't know how to discipline.
Right.
So these
You're right,
people
Judy.
Are just unafraid of God.
They should be.
Yes, they should be.
Well, they need to read my book about the intense reality of hell. And, you know, that the one thing I noticed in doing my research for that book was one of the best ways to get to hell is to lead people the wrong direction. And, boy, that priest is in big trouble.
Just listen to this is 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. Now we know that the law is good. If anyone uses it lawfully, standing this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy, the profane, the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, immoral persons, sodomites, and you know what a sodomite is, right? A homosexual,
mm-hmm.
practicing homosexual. Kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine in accordance with the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. And St. Paul has said in other places that such people who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And if they don't go to the kingdom of heaven, John, where else would they be going?
Well, pretty much straight to hell.
And from your descriptions, from the people that have gone there or saints who have gone there to testify how bad it is. It's bad. You don't want to go there.
Right. It's not one big orgy or party like a lot of people hope. It's isolation, cut off from each other, cut off from God in darkness and being tortured hideously for the kinds of things that you did, especially to mislead people or to promote false doctrines or to go against, you know, God's ways. Boy, I just noticed, and if you've read that, Donald, you certainly can agree that that is a very common theme. People who ended up in hell, that they definitely were misleading others away from God or from God's ways.
Of course, and this is just with what you were just saying. This is Matthew chapter 18 with verse 5 here beginning. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come. But woe to the man by whom that temptation comes. Oh, man. That's why we need to pray for this priest. I mean, if he's doing this.
Yeah, that's actually a very good idea. Yeah, we can sign petitions and everything, but our prayers for the priest are probably our best thing we can do, most powerful thing we can do. That's a very good point, Donald. I'm glad you said that. Our prayers are more powerful than even the petition.
Oh, and the bishop there, what bishop would allow this to happen in his diocese? That's another
problem. Hey, devil's good. The devil's good. He gets in there and he creates all sorts of chaos and works his ways beautifully, which we hate to see, but it does happen. All right. Let's
claiming
get back
to
our
be
story.
Wise, claiming to be wise, they became fools instead. And I mean, when you have a bishop and priest who are, you think they think they're wise. They think that what they're doing is good. They think that what they're doing is good, but it is just what we're sharing here. It's just 180 degrees opposite. And let's see if Our Lady has anything to say about this. Oh, boy.
All right. Well, on January 23rd, 1949, the cornerstone was laid for the new church, which was called Our Lady Mediatrix of All Grace. And there were as many as 50,000 people present for that cornerstone being laid. But Bishop Alfredo Versosa ordered the Carmelite nuns, where Teresita was, to withdraw the statue of Mary from public veneration because of all the commotion these apparitions had caused. So he thinks if he can get rid of the statue of Mary, that will stop everything from going on. And, well, they didn't want to do it. They refused to remove the statue. So this bishop personally went to the convent on November 19th, 1948, determined to do it himself. But get a load of this. When he opened the door and entered the convent, a shower of rose petals hit him in the face and fell on him. He fell to his knees. Yeah, from out of nowhere. That's right. A shower of rose petals just blasted him. And he fell to his knees and could not utter a word. From that moment on, Bishop Versosa supported the apparitions with official approval. Now, that just shows you how heaven gets its way in a beautiful gesture.
You know, that reminds, the
doubting
Thomas. It also reminds, go ahead, Judy.
That was it, another doubting Thomas.
Oh, to me it reminds me of Zacharias. Zacharias was the father of John the Baptist, but when the angel appears to him there in the Holy of Holies, he doubted what the angel said, that he became mute himself, and he wouldn't be able to speak until the naming of John the Baptist. So that's what this bishop
was. Right.
May I add something?
Yes, please.
I'm always butting in, guys. Sorry.
When I was
watching the 13th day, and no one wanted to believe Lucia, not her mother, and not even the priest. The priest attributed this to Satan. And I couldn't help but wonder, why is it that we so often are willing to attribute supernatural power to the evil one and yet deny it to God Almighty?
That's a good question.
It does seem that way in a lot of ways, because when we talk about when you talk about it being an average of 53 to 56 years for each of these apparitions to be, as an average, recognized by the church,
approved.
That's a long time. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
that's an average.
I guess I guess it's taking great pains to make sure that this is truly from God and not a deception from the evil one. Satan can appear as an angel of light, and so that I understand what that is, because what Judy's saying there, because you know it does seem like the church is real slow to accept a true, honest miracle like this, versus you know how the devil he gets in there. He's quick and he's you know on fire, I guess you'd say, because his time is short. But
yeah.
Who knows?
There was a time when the devil appeared to the visionaries of Medjugorje and trying to pass off that he was Mary, and they immediately knew something was different. The way he talked to them, the way he greeted them, they just didn't feel the same way at all. And right after he left, Mary appeared and said, okay, so that wasn't me. That was definitely the devil, and he's trying to mess things up here. So she followed right on his heels, but they didn't fall for it. You know, now a lot of people could, but they knew something wasn't right, and they didn't listen to him. Yeah. So anyway, it's interesting when heaven catches up to him and chases him off. Now,
hey, John.
Last week, yes, Mike.
It was said that Satan once appeared to a saint and proclaimed to the saint, I am the Christ. And the saint confounded him by asking, where are the marks of the nails?
Yeah.
I would
ask, Sacred Heart of Jesus.
If I thought,
Satan has and never will appear with scars.
No.
You know, I think what I would do is ask any suspicious supernatural character as if I'm going to know. But I think what I would do is ask them to pray the Lord's Prayer with me. And I know Satan won't do that. Or ask them to pray the rosary with me. There's no way he's going to do that. So remember that, everyone out there. So,
yeah, good advice.
Yeah. All right, so last week we mentioned how these rose petals weren't just ordinary rose petals, that many had amazing images engraved into them. And if you ever try to take a rose petal and create an artistic image, you'll find really quickly it just doesn't work well. And I know on my website, divinemysteries.info, if you click on the Mary image and then on the table of contents, and then go to Asia, the Philippines, and Lipa, you'll see all these pictures of those miraculous rose petals, which I did have confirmation from an audience member when I spoke in St. Louis at the Marian Conference. A man came up to me and said he was from Lipa, and yes, indeed, all the pictures I showed he recognized because they had preserved those rose petals. They're under glass in like a museum or shrine or something like that there in Lipa. And you can still see them, apparently. So, and that's pretty good considering this is 1948, you know. So they have preserved those rose petals, and those images are still there. But what I was getting to this week is that not only did the images were miraculous, but many cures have been reported using the rose petals. For example, a baby, Socorro Dicoso, was born with a hole in her skull. The parents applied the rose petals from one of these supernatural rose showers to the baby's skull on January 28, 1949. X-rays confirmed that the hole closed up and the brain receded, curing the child, just touching the rose petals to the baby's head. And if that isn't interesting enough, on December 24th, 1950, a girl was receiving the last rites, dying from a cerebral hemorrhage, when the priest placed one of those heavenly rose petals on her forehead. Upon the ringing of the Angelus bell, the girl suddenly awakened. She was wrong, and she was completely healed. Wow. And yet another miracle. Another child, Minamio Sungo, had been born with a severely deformed right foot. It was curled so much that she could not even wear a shoe. Her leg had atrophied, shortened, and wasted away. But at 9 years old, her uncle brought a bottle of water that had been placed by Mary's statue overnight. The mother rubbed this water on her foot every evening for a week. And then the child awoke one morning to a perfectly healed foot and leg. Neighbors reported a strong fragrance of flowers around the child's home. The Sungo family was shocked when a shower of rose petals fell inside their own home. Okay, I'm going to stop there for a second. If that is not one of the coolest miracles ever.
That
think about
is
that.
Fantastic. I mean, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
When I was in Iraq, I formed what we call the Rosary Patrol. And the Rosary Patrol, oddly enough, was being asked by so many people in the United States to dedicate the rosary for them. And we were given the example of a young mother who was going into her basement or garage, and she was carrying her infant baby with her, and she tripped and fell down those stairs and basically crushed this baby's skull. They asked us to intercede on behalf of this baby, and we did. We started to, as the Rosary Patrol, taking that cause up. And during the process of 30 days, which we were offering the rosary in this case, or for this little baby, they didn't think that the baby was going to survive. But when they went in there, I guess it was, I'm not sure exactly what part or when through that 30 days, that baby, the doctor said, was miraculously cured. There's just no way that they could explain how the baby is totally perfect today. But that was some time. So the rosary and what Our Lady is calling for and doing, these are not joke. I mean, our heaven loves. These are amazing stories. I'm just spellbound.
Yeah, I love them.
Just sharing. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Judy, are you on?
Got something?
Yeah. My friend Rosalie, I had sent you by Facebook message a link showing a picture of a rose petal that was given to her. Did you see that, John?
I saw you send a link, but I hadn't tracked it down yet. I wasn't in a place where I could do that.
Okay. Well,
but I'll check it.
This, if you scroll down just a touch, underneath where it says another child, Nanani Asungo, and then an article about her, there's a rose petal with the face of Jesus and the crown of thorns. And I believe her rose petal has that same image, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. Great. I can't wait to check that out. You know, it's just
okay. It's
just beautiful. You know, that miracle was so beautiful, and that shower of roses in her own home. And
yeah.
Then to have an image as well, that's just awesome.
Yeah.
And remember, these showers of rose petals come from Saint Therese of Lisieux, along with Mary. And it's interesting, Therese and Teresita, it might be the Filipino version of Teresa, Teresita and Saint Therese. So that's interesting. Might be a connection there. By the way, showers of these rose petals have often fallen inside Teresita's home as well. Several witnesses, including a priest, were present when full roses materialized out of thin air and landed on the stairs, altar, and bedroom of Teresita's home. Full roses materialized and landed inside her home. So that's just so amazing. Well, the official church investigation in April 1951 was rather suspicious in that key witnesses were not interviewed. Diaries and evidence was destroyed. And the six bishops who signed the negative report admitted later that they had been coerced to do so under threat of excommunication. As Satan makes his efforts. Despite efforts by psychiatric professionals to find mental illness, delusion, or other emotional disturbances with Teresita, she was officially deemed sane, completely okay. Neither Bishop Abiar nor Bishop Versosa was even questioned, the two main bishops. And stringent sanctions were placed on the convent of Lipa. Boy, this sounds like Satan's work. The nuns were cut off from the world. The statue of Mary was removed from sight. But from February through May of 1990, you heard that right, 1990, a white luminous figure of a female in prayer appeared in a coconut tree every evening for 90 days or 3 months. Sir Alphonse pleaded from her deathbed for the statue of Mary to be exposed again in the chapel of Carmel. The next day, after 40 years, Archbishop Gaviola finally ordered the statue to be displayed again. Immediately, showers of rose petals began again. We're talking 1990 now. Showers of rose petals began again. As Teresita and two others were praying in front of Mary's statue in the chapel, a shower of pure white rose petals fell inside the chapel. And I'm just going to go on here for a moment, and we'll talk about this. A few days later, six children playing in the convent garden saw the statue of Mary come to life. They reported, "I saw her eyes cry and her feet come close together. I held her hand and it was soft. I saw her dress blow in the breeze. I held her dress and it was soft. When I kissed her feet, I felt them move. The toes wiggled. The eyes raised upward and the rosary moved in her hands, unquote. Other reports include the spinning of the sun and the strong smell of roses again. And Teresita began receiving messages from Mary again as well. Water gained healing powers if the rose petals were dipped into it. Okay, I'll say that one more time. Water gained healing powers if the rose petals were dipped into it. Well,
wow.
Due to this scandalous suppression of facts, coerced statements from six bishops, and the omission of key witnesses and evidence, the church finally set up a new committee to investigate all the happenings at LIPA. And I can proudly tell you that the archbishop approved the apparitions finally on September 12th, 2015. Now, I do know that the Vatican wasn't sure about accepting that, but listen, the local bishop, especially archbishop, according to tradition, has the final word. So even if the Vatican was not on board with accepting all this, maybe because they didn't want to admit to all the scandalous stuff that had gone on, but regardless, the archbishop, after all this investigation, did officially approve the apparitions. And but September 12th, 2015, in fact, I remember finding out the day after, I got some kind of news flash on some website sent to me. And even a bunch of nuns from the Philippines came running up to me. I was at a retreat. And they came running up to me and says, John, LIPA got, you know, officially approved. So I found out pretty quick when that happened just a few years ago. But see how long that took? So
that's amazing.
So what a great story. What a beautiful story.
Beautiful story, but what I don't understand is why there's this suppression that seems to be coming from those who should be thankful. I can't even imagine having something like this taking place and the evidence being so overwhelming. I mean, it's almost like, you know, when you're watching CNN or even Fox News today, you know, how they suppress and twist the information or whatever. It seems like when you see that happening within our church, that just, I don't understand that. I really, really do not understand that. Someone listening to this show tonight be wondering about statues and things of that nature, crying and moving and these kinds of things. I like what this says here in Luke chapter 19. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus responded, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.
Right.
The very stones
right.
would cry out.
And they have. Yes.
Yeah.
Judy, do you have a
yeah.
comment, Judy?
Yeah. It just seems to me, I could be wrong, but it seems that especially in places with people that, like you were saying, Donald, that you would expect them to believe and to be grateful, I think there's an element of fear involved in believing in these things. Because if you are living, if you know you are living in opposition to God's commandments, to the teachings of Christ, and especially if you are in a position of authority over people like a priest or a bishop, it's so much easier to deny, because if you give in to the belief, then you have to stop living the sinful way you want to live. And people just aren't always willing to do that. They want to live that sinful lifestyle. And it's, you know, just poo-pooing the thing. Oh, it's not real. Oh, it's the devil, or you're imagining it, or makes it easy for them to continue on in their sinful life. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I remember in the Bible how Jesus goes from town to town casting out demons right and left. I'm thinking, that was great, but who's doing it today, you know? Those demons are sticking around and causing all sorts of turmoil and chaos and trouble. If only we had Jesus just walk around and cast them out again, that'd be great. So
they're putting it all under the understanding of psychology today. A lot of that undergoes, and it, probably a lot of it is psychology, you know, that kind of thing. But Satan is active. I think he's more active in trying, not necessarily possession, but obsession, or, you know, where his temptations and his environment that is being so much part of a person's life, and they get into drugs and addictions and all kinds of things,
right,
to try to weed it out or embrace it even. Go ahead there, Kathy.
Father Ripperger calls it an infestation, and I think we can cast out demons ourselves simply by praying the rosary with our family. The rosary will change your life, and the rosary will get the demons out of your life.
Yeah.
And top of that, like every day we pray the rosary, and of course the family's improved, but we also pray to St. Joseph each evening. We run our own business, and we ask St. Joseph to watch over it and to guide us and to watch over each job, and we ask him to help our boys to be good protectors and good providers, and we pray to him, and then St. Michael an exorcism prayer, and we say that every night together as a family. So far, so good.
Deal. Yes, great. And that's a good suggestion for anyone out there. Do you remember what Kathy just said? Your prayers are more powerful than you can even realize, and especially those prayers. I know I heard Father Ripperger talk as well, and he told me, you know, just saying the Lord's Prayer just scares a lot of demons away. They don't want to hear it. They'll run. And same with the rosary, of course. One exorcism, the priest asked the devil what he fears the most, and he said the rosary. He hates the rosary. And so I thought that was pretty cool that during an exorcism he got that response from the demon. Anyway.
I agree.
Next week, folks, we go to the Ukraine in 1954. The Ukraine, a little unknown place called Seredne, Seredne. And very little known about this to most people, but we will see what happened there in the Ukraine in 1954. You notice we're coming up in time. We were in 1948, 49, now up to 1954. So that's how I pick these. I go forward in time with each apparition.
I think that is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Judy, you have a final poem. I did not forget.
Yes, sir. This is one I had sent to you guys a couple of days ago by messenger, asking if there was a Bible passage matching the poem. John Banco and then Donald responded with this Mark 13, verse 25. And the stars of heaven shall be falling down, and the powers that are in heaven shall be moved. And then I added a continuation of that from Mark 13 with verse 26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And verse 27, and then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Anyway, this is the poem, and it was given to me some years ago, and I had entitled it End Beginning, end comma, beginning. Then the stars shall fall down like the earth with their glow, bringing forth to the ages of man all the good that they do from the time of their birth to the day that they make their last stand. And the moon and the stars will break free from all space, spiral down into nether's dark realm. And the Lord of the earth shall stand forth from his throne, shining bright as his radiant helm. Then all people shall know from the end to the start, bearing grace from the heavens above, that our God ever wins, thus it always shall be, as he pours down his glorious love. Never failing is he in his mighty domain, never wavering from then unto now. Ever steadfast and true, he will call those he loves into life everlasting as vowed. And I think anybody that reads the poem and reads the passage from Scripture, Mark 13, 25 through 27, will see the connection. I did not know. I was not familiar with that passage from Scripture. That's why I asked if there was one, because to me that poem always sounded very biblical.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, and
that's beautiful. Jesus.
And there's a lot to that. So I think that is important. And as you go on from Mark, going from verse 25 all the way to verse 27, I think verse 27 is more to the poem than the earlier part, because the earlier, you're going to have a confrontation. You're going to have like a battle raging going on. And I didn't see that necessarily in the poem. I saw what was in the poem, what was more to what I considered 27, verse 27, because of the glory that espouses. You know, that's the way I saw it. But good stuff. Good stuff there.
All
beautiful
right.
Stuff.
Well, as always, we always end our program with asking everyone out there to join with me in saying a Hail Mary. With all our voices from around the world joining together in unison, they will rise up to heaven and hopefully make heaven smile. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight and took the time to maybe learn something new. Hopefully we inspired you, educated you, or brought you closer to these visits of Mary to understand what's going on, and that you must always realize that heaven is tuned in every second to what we do, what we say. And don't think that God's not looking when you did that thing.
That's right.
And prayers are more powerful than you could ever know. Mary has said that many times. She has said, if you only knew the power of prayer, you would never stop praying. That's what she has said a number of times. All right,
amen.
Gang, thank you so much. Great show, great stuff. Thank you all for being here.
All right. Well, good night, everybody, and I encourage you to keep lifting him up. I really, really, really do. In prayer, the rosary, all of that. So let's say the Sacred Heart, the month of June is also big about the Sacred Heart, and I'm finishing. I'll be working on 12, or the 12 promises of our Lord's promises of the Sacred Heart. So I'm getting a lot out of that. It's just so, I love it. Well, good night, everybody. God bless you all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
God bless you.
Good night.
Lift him up.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.